Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United transfer news this Thursday, the 17th of July, 2025. You could be forgotten for thinking it's August the 1st, 2032, how slow Manchester United are at transfers, but we actually are still in 2025. And we've got a few things to talk about. So Mbeumo's price has apparently gone up. Rashford is now of interest to Juventus. Sancho is close to signing to Juventus. Garnacho could be getting a Premier League move. And Amorim may be ready to blood the youth rather than sign players. Now, this will probably cause a bit of a balance because some people will get quite excited about that. Personally, it terrifies me that with Onana being injured, we might put kids in goal. And with the lack of signings, we might throw kids into the team. Learner drivers ain't going to get us out of this. Lewis Hamilton drivers will. We need experience. We definitely do. And interestingly as well, you might have seen it in The Athletic this morning. We'll talk about it in a few minutes' time. We got some information a couple of months ago around the midfield. If we want to buy a midfielder, somebody needs to go. And it was Casemiro or Mainoo. But we also mentioned from the training ground that Collier might be surplus to requirements. Keep an eye on Collier. We said it in May. It's just come out this morning. Loan or sale, Collier is an option. And that's coming out from The Athletic. So that information, again, was obviously very, very correct. But look, let's start off with the news. Let's start off with the big news. And yet again, we have a story around Brian Mbeumo and third day running, actually. They've done the hat trick. They've done the treble. It's the only treble Man United are going to do. They're basically reporting in The Guardian that Manchester United are not willing to offer more than £65 million and that Brentford want 70. Third day in a row. Whitwell Athletic on Tuesday. Lookhurst Manchester Evening News Wednesday. And now it's The Guardian on Thursday reporting that Brentford want £70 million and Manchester United are unwilling to pay £65 million. And again, I just think that United are just trying to get hold of this story, trying to rescue a story. It's almost become, in my opinion, a PR exercise. How do we pay £60 million for Mbeumo and come off as doing something, you know, spectacular in our negotiation skills? And Morgan says, are we going to walk away? A walk on by, says Garfield. I think that's only if you listen to the story. Are they buttering us up to walk away? I genuinely do think, and I'd love to know what you think, I genuinely do think this is just PR. I really do. I think we've spent seven and a half weeks on this deal now, and we all know, we'll talk about the price in a minute, but we all know what Brentford want, and we've known it since the start of June. And I think Manchester United, who are flying out to the United States on Tuesday, in 5 days' time, we are flying out to the United States. I think Manchester United are nowhere near negotiating the deal they want to negotiate. And I think what they're looking to do is they're looking to salvage some sort of PR. Now, whether that could be walking away and people go, yeah, good one, United. Can I just say, those people like Garfield and others who are saying walk away, what positive outcome is there of us walking away? I mean, I just want to get into their mindset of the people who are saying it's a good idea to walk away, considering that we have been we've been negotiating this for 7 weeks, why would you pat somebody on the back who walks away and go on United, go on, yeah, my club? Why would you do that? I'd go, why were you there in the first place? Why have you wasted 7 weeks? Have you manipulated this fan base to make us think we were going to sign a player to cover up 2 months of activity? Like, I don't think walking away is an option for Man United now. It would be our fault for not, you know, realizing this situation from the start. But the second thing I would say as well is that I genuinely think we will do this deal. But I think what we're trying to do is push the Brentford price up to 70 so that when we get in for about 60, we can go, well, we brought the price down. That's what we were negotiating for. Genuinely do think this is a PR exercise. Genuinely do think this is about managing how we pay £60 million for Mbeumo, but cover off 8 weeks of negotiations. And the way to do that is to use your friends in the media, push the Brentford asking price to 70. And then when you get in for 60, you go, well, look, that's what we were negotiating for. The problem with that is we have known that the price is £60 million. since June the 1st. We've known this, and we have got to follow the evidence. At the start of June, it was reported that Brentford wanted a price similar to what we paid for Cunha, and Man United offered 45. At the end of June, they offered 55. We've never offered the 60. Why won't we offer the 60? Even if you believe that Brentford want 70, why would you not offer 60? What my point is, we've never offered 60 and we won't offer 60. And why won't we offer 60? And why is the talk of 70? And genuinely, if Brentford wanted 70, why didn't we walk away? So I just think that this is PR. And I think United are trying to spin spending £60 million on Mbeumo because they know everybody knew we could have done that weeks and weeks and weeks ago. And I also think that we're doing this because we want to save money, because we're paying so much money on wages to Garnacho and Sancho, etc. Just talking about that, we can come back to that, obviously, but I want to delve into this midfielder story because it's really interesting. Lots to talk about around exits, leaving Manchester United, of course, as well. But this was reported. Let me just see if I can. Well, I can get it here. Hold on a minute. They're not going anywhere. Let me read this out to you. Here it is. Options remain open. This is from The Athletic. Options remain open as to whether Toby Collier will be staying, sold, or leave on loan. There is still a possibility that Amas goes out on loan if it transpires his playing time is likely to be limited as a result of Leon's arrival. Diogo Leon will not be leaving on loan. So all that was in The Athletic this morning. We're going to talk about the youth in a few minutes' time. But I do draw your attention to that. Very big attention to that. All options on the table for Collier: loan, sale, or keep. Now, that is quite damning. It's quite sad. It's quite surprising. But, well, it's not actually. A year ago, I think it was Collier's big season. I forget how old he is. I think he's 22 now. Last year, when we had Ten Hag going into this season, it was a big season for Collier. And effectively, it didn't go well, did it? He was injured a lot. We did a video in May, and we were talking about the midfield situation. And a lot of people were saying we need to buy a midfielder. And from the person that we speak to, they basically said, you're not getting a midfielder coming into Manchester United because you've got Bruno, you've got Mainoo, you've got Ugarte, you've got Casemiro, and you've got Collier, and you've got no European football, and you only need two midfielders. So they're not going to buy a midfielder with that roster. They've got to move somebody on. And they said they want Casemiro gone because he's only got a year left on his way, on his contract, and he's on big wages. And if Casemiro didn't go, then you'd probably look at Mainoo, but they don't really want to do that. So I don't think they'll buy a midfielder. But what they did say to us was that keep an eye on Collier, he could go. And I've never heard it anywhere other than that source back in May, but here it is. So look, there's obviously something around Collier that Amorim's not too enamoured with, really, or impressed with. Which, look, I'd throw it to the chat. I don't know what your thoughts are on that. I always felt that Collier had a lot of potential, but there is a danger zone when you're developing between the age of 18 and 22. And I think once you hit 22 and you're still classed as a young player, it's quite rare that you're going to make it. And I think that might be the big issue that he has, is that we don't really have much more time for him. Let's have a look how old he is. I typed in Collier and it's come up with Collier's Homes. Not retiring. It's not that old. Toby Collier is 21, actually. 22 in January. So, yeah, he's sort of in that zone, I suppose. But look, I don't know. I don't know that he's... I'd like to see him get a loan, realistically. But I think he looked like a good player at one point, but obviously last season he was just ravaged by injury. Let's go back to sales. Let's talk about Demarcio. Let's talk about Juventus, and let's talk about Marcus Rashford. Now, there are plenty of stories out there at the moment around Jadon Sancho and his potential to leave Manchester United this summer. Very interesting, because I think Jadon Sancho is a player that we all want to see go. I've lost interest. I must be honest, it's very rare for me to do this, but I've checked out. I've got no interest in Jadon Sancho or his transfer. Interestingly, he was pictured driving into Carrington yesterday with Malacia. I've got no interest in Malacia either, but I think people think Malacia, oh, he's just unlucky with injury. I don't know, and I don't know about Malacia. I really don't. I think he smiles a lot, and he's probably a nice guy, but he hangs around with Rashford a lot. He's turning up in the car with Sancho. I mean, I've seen a few people on social media sort of having a go at him for it, and I just thought, hold on a minute. He's probably a nice lad. He's come into the club. He's probably good friends with Rashford and Sancho. But the bottom line is, I'm not going to hold it against him that he's mates with Sancho and Rashford. I mean, whoever he wants to hang around with is up to him. I mean, you know, Garnacho might hang around with complete wankers who aren't even footballers. So I'm not going to judge him for that. I just think he's shit. I think Malassi is crap. I don't know what I'm laughing about. It's not a very nice thing to say. But I think he's crap. I couldn't give a toss if he turns up with Amrin to Carrington, which is unlikely. But I actually just think the most important thing about football is we don't need to go out with them for a meal. We don't need to go on holiday with them. And we don't need to invite them around for Christmas. What we need them to do is turn up in a Manchester United shirt and play well. And with regards to Malacia, I think he's crap. Ice Trey says you're literally holding it against them. No, I don't think you understand conversational analysis, pal. I couldn't give a toss. I don't think I've ever mentioned Malacia or who he hangs around with. But he's crap. He's a crap player. He just needs to be got rid of. I thought he was infuriatingly rubbish when he came back from his injury. And that's why PSV don't want to keep him. So we just need to move him on. But Damarzio came out with a story last night that Juventus are looking at Marcus Rashford. Don't know how that would work. Really do not think Marcus Rashford would look at Juventus and go, I want to go there. This is not the Juventus of old. This is the Italian league. And I don't know what Damarzio is doing these days. There was a time when he used to get pretty good stories around Man United, and Rashford to Juventus, I think there's more chance of Rashford going to Brighton. It would be a better career move. He would not go to Juventus. So I did see the story. Obviously, it's a news show. Obviously, you can give us your thought. I mean, I don't think it's as wild as the story yesterday, which was complete and utter nonsense, that Liverpool were looking at Rashford. It's not that wild, but it's not far off. Juventus, Rashford, no. He won't go there. He wants Barcelona. There was more rumours yesterday that he basically... I mean, it's a strange situation for Marcus Rashford, because I don't really know anything about Thomas Tuchel in relation to how he has favourites, but you've got a very, very competitive England squad. The World Cup's coming up in a year's time. You've also got the internationals coming up in September, October and November. And Marcus Rashford is not having a pre-season. And I think that's very, very dangerous. But the noise coming out is that he is still very much looking to win the battle of getting his move to Barcelona. And believes that he can get it on loan by just saying, I only want Barcelona. There's talk that he's not happy that he's been singled out. Well, he's not been singled out. There's five of you, the famous five, the worst boy band in the world. And, you know, I think he ideally would like to be reaping the benefits of an intense pre-season with Man United whilst also pushing for the Barcelona move in late August, while maybe getting a few minutes for United. What he's actually getting is no preseason of any value, no minutes of any value, and everybody else is. And that's a dangerous game to play. It's a dangerous game for Garnacho. It's a dangerous game for Antony, and it's a dangerous game for Rashford. Malacia ain't going to the World Cup unless he's doing, you know, TV duties, and Sancho ain't going either. But those three players have all got respective opportunities of going to the World Cup. But I can't state enough how big a deal it is missing out on a pre-season. And look, I don't think Rashford is going to do anything other than wait for Barcelona, and he's going to have to play catch-up. But honestly, as I said before, I know it's controversial for a Thursday morning, but if I was Man United, I think sometimes a bad deal is better than no deal. And I would be on the phone to Barcelona saying, look, let's get this loan deal done. Let's just get this deal done, because we're not going to get any money for him. If the player only wants Barcelona, we're not going to get any money for him. And I think that's a big problem for Manchester United. Let's just have a look at what some of you are saying this morning. We are looking for best in class, says Caleb. We will only sign players who want to play for United. Have a player who fits both and won't spend extra 5 to 10 million, says Caleb. Exactly. Bailey says, I believe we have been going downhill since Sir Alex left. So until we get good leaders, we will not get top 10. Thank you very much, Bailey. Bram says, do you reckon we'll sign a few players at the end of the window, similar to last season, or are we genuinely doomed? We spoke about this on the excellent 8 o'clock show last night. Join us tonight at 8. And we were basically saying, what point does it get where you just rather get nothing? I mean, look, that fits in nicely with this new story about Amorim and the youth. Again, it was in The Athletic. They were talking about Kone and whether he will go on loan or whether he'll be assessed in pre-season. I think it's always nice, by the way. We've got a pre-season game on Saturday. But I think it's always nice with pre-season to see some of the younger players, whether they go on loan or not. I think it is. But I was also reading about the goalkeeper, and they were talking about whether it will be Vitek who goes in goal, or maybe they'll use Bienda or Tom Heaton. And I just got quite depressed about it, really, because I thought, well, we're thinking about whether giving a kid a go or Tom Heaton a go or Bienda a go. And I'm like, so basically we're just waiting for Onana to come back, aren't we? Like, we should be being proactive. We should be buying a goalkeeper now, because it's a very important position. And you talk about whether we can finish in the top 10 or whatever, but the ambition of this football club this season is remarkably bad. Like, it's the message that they're putting out to the fans is that this season doesn't matter. Buy the kit, you know, like the photos, but this season doesn't matter because we're not changing much from last season. And I think that whether you bring Kone into the team or Obi into the team or Leon into the team or Hamas into the team or any other young player into the team, it's not actually fair and it's not actually the solution. That team finished 15th in the league, lost the Europa League final, hasn't had a summer transfer. And I don't think at any point do I look at it and go, yeah, you know what? We do need a few teenagers in the team just to, you know, to blood their way in. I absolutely do not think that at all. So yeah, I'm very, very concerned about that and how, you know, how things might pan out, really, because regardless of what people think, we have got some really good young players coming through. Now is not the time to be throwing them in. I mean, there's no margin for error. Like, yeah, there's no margin for error at all. So I think it's really interesting, actually, just what's going on. One moment. Sorry about that. Edward V says, if we had a similar season as last and Amrim gets sacked, would it be Ineos out or are they protected as the Glazers or maybe more? If we had a similar season as last season and Amrim gets sacked, would it be Ineos out or are they protected? Well, no, Ineos ain't going anywhere, mate. They can make as many mistakes as they like. Rory C says, here's an idea. We're always open to ideas, Rory. Amorim coaches players to make them better. Can we name more than one player that he has made better? You know what? I think this is so subjective. I think this is so subjective, because when Ten Hag left, people were like, name me one player he's made better. And the funny thing is, there was times where people would have said he made quite a lot of players better. But ultimately, when you get sacked because of bad results. So it's always easy to say, oh, name a player that he's made better. Because when things are going badly, of course, you're always going to be like, well, what's he done to make people better? And I think you're right, Rory. I'm not dismissing it. But we had our worst we had one of our worst ever seasons in our history last year. It's going to be very hard to say that he's made a player better. Some people are saying Xerxes, but I think it was very sporadic, mate. I don't think you could say that Amrin's made Xerxes better. There was some positive signs from Xerxes post Christmas, but I don't think you could say he made him better. I'm hoping that we're gonna. My answer is Rory. I think asking who Amrin has made better based on that first 6 months is very, very unfair. I think that's the point of the preseason. There might have been glimpses, like people said, with Ahmad and Xerxes, but this is what the preseason's all about. But I would also say, Rory, is it fair? Does he have to? Is that his job? Like, if we start the season and we start the season badly and people say Amrin's not improved anybody, I would instantly say, but they're not his players. The only two players he's got to improve are Cunha and Dorgu. And I think Dorgu will get better. Why should he make Rasmus better or Onana better or Ugarte better or Xerxes better? That's not necessarily what Pep's done or Arteta's done, Klopp's done. You know, I think you would want him to improve some, but they're not necessarily his players. And I wouldn't have expected him to do it last season anyway. Bram's gifted a membership. You're a legend. Thank you very much. Thank you for that. Patrick's in the house. He says, Ineos over-promising and under-delivering yet or again. Rajaf says, thoughts on the away kit design and more importantly, thoughts on us revealing more kits than players. Also, I don't think we'll sign Jackson. Hope not, Rajaf. Thoughts on the kit are, reminds me of a Real Madrid or a Spurs kit. And I know it's purple, but I just think it doesn't look like a Man United kit to me. But that's not the first time. They're trying to wear them out, says Katin, in relation to Brentford. Bolver and Billy, welcome to Members Club. Thank you very much. Really appreciate you putting your badges in the chat and supporting the channel. Love that. Steve Nolan says, this summer is Glazers in every way, but the name. I disagree, Steve. I think the Glazers were bad, but better than this. My mate Ums can't go on holiday because of his missus. Can you call him a prat? Says Shidham. He needs to put a pair of trousers on, actually, and get on holiday. That's what I say. Unless his missus is ill, in which case I just look massively insensitive. But I'm assuming she's saying you can't go on holiday with your mates because you're in a relationship with me. Guarantee they won't be together in 2 years and he'll have missed the holiday. Chelsea signed, but as I said, if she's actually ill, with something serious, I don't want to come across as insensitive. Chelsea signed more during their transfer ban in 2019, says Aman. Like Schofield says, also, you got to think, who else would we get with the same stature and ability of Mbeumo for the same price, as like Schofield? Well, look, it's petulant. Sometimes I can be petulant, but I look at the Mbeumo situation and I understand people saying walk away. It's a very frustrating situation. But it's where you aim the frustration. I don't aim any frustration at Brentford. It's their property and they're entitled to ask for a price. I don't think that price is unreasonable. Manchester United have spent 7 weeks on this. They could have just walked away. They haven't walked away. If they walk away now, I think the market's desperate. And also a lot of players that you consider have already moved, whether that be Gittins, Kudos, Alanga, whatever. Do you think Sir Jim is sabotaging us, says Harry. If he signs Nicholas Jackson, 100%. Dave the Brave says, never thought I'd see the day when Brentford bossed United around in the market. We are the village bike. Mark, how's your mental health, man? We care about you and don't want this club to burn you out, says Jay Law. Well, it's nice to be asked, mate. It's nice to be asked. You know me, I'll always tell you. I've had days where I haven't felt that great, but I've got to be honest, on that level, absolutely fine. I think a massive part of that has been the 8 o'clock shows, which have just been not necessarily, you know, focused around transfer news, but more around general conversation, which is my favorite type of content. But the morning show has always been a news show, so let's stick with that for now. How about offering 65 million first, says Tony Marshall. Look, we'll see what happens. There's a lot of people in this chat. There's certainly a lot of people online who have staged some sort of weird stance against me because I've always said, from what I've heard and what I've seen, that if we offer Brentford 60 million, we'll probably get the deal done. And people keep going, it's 70. And I'm like, I don't give a shit if it's 70. Have we offered 60? And we haven't. We haven't offered 60. So until we offer 60, I do not believe that Brentford want 70. And you know what? I could say we've got 16,000 people watching. You could give me 16,000 explanations for why this Mbeumo deal hasn't happened. The only one that really, and they'd probably all be valid, but the only one that really grabs my attention is, I remember doing a video with Robbie on That's Football last year, Premier League predictions video, and we were just talking about Mbeumo. And I said, that player is amazing. I had no concept that Man United were going to sign him at all. In fact, what I actually said is, he needs to go to Newcastle. That's where he needs to go. He'd be perfect for Newcastle. Jacob Murphy's been decent there, but Mbeumo on their right wing, he would tear it up. I think Newcastle and Mbeumo would have been brilliant. And I said, look, his record in the Premier League this season is sensational. Considering where he's doing it and how consistent he's been, absolutely sensational. So I'm not saying this because we're trying to get him. I'm saying it because I was saying it last season anyway. We paid £62 million for Cunha. The minute you pay £62 million for Cunha, you cannot devalue Mbeumo below 60. You can't. The similarities, not necessarily in the player, but what they've achieved and their age and their experience and what they bring, you can't say one's worth 62 and one's worth 40. You can't say one's worth 80 and one's worth 60. Like, they're basically worth the same and we haven't offered the same. And if I was Brentford, I'd be saying, no, I'm not doing this deal until you offer what you offer is what you offered for Cunha. Should Mbeumo hand in a transfer request, says Garkle? I hope he doesn't. I actually hope he doesn't, because I think that I actually quite like players that show a bit of class. I like players that show a little bit of, loyalty. I think people love it when Arsenal fans will love it with Gyökeres. Oh, he's so desperate to come to us that he won't even train for Sporting. But in a couple of years' time, Gyökeres is wanted by Real Madrid and he does the same. They'll be like, oh, what a knobhead, this, that, and the other. And I think it works both ways. So I actually quite respect players that respect the clubs that basically give them the opportunity, pay their wages. And also, who knows, Mbeumo might not come in till August. So I'm actually happy he's having a pre-season. I'd much rather he's having a pre-season with Brentford than on strike, you know, not getting a pre-season, because we've seen that with Ugarte, we've seen it with Antony, we've seen it with Amrabat. None of them had a pre-season and none of them had a very good first season either. So, Newcastle have now left talks for Ekitike, a deal considered off. Newcastle now focus on targets as since Monday bid got rejected. Liverpool entered the race. Liverpool are now advancing. So it looks like Isak's staying there. I mean, I don't know why I'm telling you this. Oh, because of Pletigol mentioned Ekitike, didn't it? Juventus have inquired about a potential deal to sign Rashford. We've spoken about that. In recent hours, Juventus... Who's this from? Oh, Alfredo Padula. He's quite... I mean, can I just apologise before we do this? Please smash a like on the video, by the way. Let's get some positivity in. Fantastic shows at the moment. The best and biggest Man United community in the world. And I think you've proved that over the last few weeks. Don't miss the 8 o'clock show. Alfredo Padula, who was very good around the Onana and Rasmus stories a couple of years ago. He is saying that in recent hours, Juventus have offered 15 million. Juventus have a full agreement in place with Sancho and his representatives. Negotiations are progressing well. The offer might already be enough. Sancho has once again reiterated his desire to wait for Juventus and has urged them to speed things up. Man United have cooperated and want to resolve the situation. They've already backed away from the original 25 million evaluation. It's not all offer, so caution is still needed, but Juventus are picking up pace, heading straight towards Sancho. I don't like talking about Sancho, you know that. I thought we got rid of him last summer. It's like selling a player twice. That one sort of confuses me. But what I would say is, I think the biggest issue with Sancho is his
is going to be what his wages are and whether we have to pay him off or not. So that's the one I would be certainly keeping an eye on with that. Nigel Spiegel says, for Amrim to have a fighting chance, he needs at least 6 to 7 players. Unfortunately, he won't survive long enough to get the backing required, says Nigel. Yeah, well, look, I'm actually looking forward to the game on Saturday against Leeds. At least all our preseason games have got a level of competition. With all due respect, I'm not a big fan of going over to the States and playing LA Galaxy reserves with our reserves. So I'm hoping that from minute one, I mean, we don't know. We don't know how Amrim's going to approach it, but I'm hoping with Amrim that we will get a, you know, I'm hoping he's going to, what's the point, basically? What's the point? What's the point in going on tour or playing Leeds on Saturday and going, oh, let's play all the kids and let's only play the first team for half an hour? Like, you've got five preseason games and we need to hit the ground running. We've got a very difficult start to the season. I hope he takes it seriously. I'm hoping we're going to see what we saw with Ten Hag in his first preseason, where there was just some really good football out in Asia. Dre says, I think the Mbeumo transfer is off and United is trying to slowly get everyone used to that being a flop. Painted that Brentford, says Dre. Would you be happy if we waited for Mbeumo's contract to end and get him for free next year? Well, that wouldn't happen, mate, because they've got the option of another year. He hasn't got 1 year left on his contract. He's got 2. Niki says, why don't we say to the 5 we are trying to shift? You're not getting a place in the 25 squad, so leave or don't play, especially in a World Cup year, says Niki. Well, I think that will happen anyway. Legitimately do think that will happen. What's the story with the Terry fella? He seems to love what Ineos are doing, says Dan. Mate, it takes all opinions. I like Terry and I like the fact that he gives the other side. I think he's, for whatever reason, I think he's quite, all in on Ineos doing quite well. But I think he's starting to realise that that's not necessarily, you know, there are some people like that. I mean, look, you can't just say they're idiots just because of that. Like, there are some people who have those opinions. Red Devil Discourse says, can't wait for Sir Jim Radcliffe's excuses interview with Gary Neville. And Hitton says, would you rather United don't bring in players because of lack of sales or bring in inflated signings by August end? I wonder which is worse long term. Well, Hitton, it's a great question to which we have got no insights on what the answer might be. I think that the fact that you're actually putting that question forward yet again reiterates what a crappy situation we have, because you're right. Do we not make signings, or do we make signings that are late and expensive? And that's where we are now. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm being unfair here, but I don't think we're in a position where anybody in this community or the wider fan base thinks that this transfer window can still be good. It can't. Like it can't be good. Like it can't be good because the preseason has already started. We're 3 weeks out from playing Arsenal, I think. Is it 3 weeks or 4 weeks this weekend? God, I hope it's 4. It might be 4. It might be 3. I'm trying to figure it out. Anyway, it's 3 or 4 weeks till we play Arsenal. We know how long it takes us to do transfers, and we're not in concrete talks with anybody but Mbeumo. So we can't rescue this transfer window now. It's just it's a mess. It's just a case of how much shit can we clear? I think it's scary what could happen in the next few weeks, whether we do a no business or whether we do inflated, expensive business. Jay Law says, a manager can only make a player better if that player wants to be better, says Jay Law. And of course, just going back to that comment about what that Rory said about what players has Amrim made better. Remember, we have got a lot of players. I don't need to name names. We've got a lot of players that I would class that are good on their day, but countless times over the last year, 2, 3, 4, sometimes 5, they've shown that mentally they're weak. You tell me a player in that current squad And I'll point to five or six terrible performances in the last 12 months. And that's from everybody. So I think that's a really interesting point, because consistency is what I'm talking about. Amrin might be able to improve players, but can he get consistency? And I think this, for me, is why this team needs such a major overhaul, because we've definitely got good players. You could take someone like Bruno. Bruno's a very good player. He's our best player. But does he consistently play well, or does he sometimes have absolute stinkers like the Europa League final, like the game against Chelsea before that? We don't have consistency, and I don't think you can train consistency. That's my concern. What's more important to you, says Jake, getting rid of Sancho, Rashford, etc., or breaking even on PSR for them? Would you sell them for peanuts to get them gone, says Jake? I don't want to manage a football club like an accountant, pal. I think that getting rid of those players is very, very important. I can't believe we haven't bought a left back. A lot of pressure on young Dorgu, who will be criticised heavily as one of Ruben's signings, says Sue. Well, we've got Ben Jacobs on the show at 2 o'clock, actually. I'm looking forward to it. Beth's back from holiday. Ben Jacobs is there with her. They haven't been on holiday together. So we should get some good updates. And one story that probably beyond Mbeumo shows any semblance of positivity is Estebanar. And it was Ben Jacobs who broke that story weeks ago on this channel. So whether you like Estebanar or not, there definitely appears to be some... I wouldn't be surprised if we're going to do that deal later in the window. It feels like Brighton want to move him on. It feels like we're the best option. It just feels like we've probably said to Brighton and Estebanar, we do want him, we will buy him, but we've got other things to do first. And if that happens, then, you know, that would be somebody who can play fullback. Matt Tweed says, these talks of Nicholas Jackson actually feel like something Vlinios might consider. It's impressive work to somehow downgrade, but here we are. Says Matt, if we can sell, loan Anthony, maybe turn him into a wingback. I think he has the aggression for the position and it'll open up more doors for the club to buy, says Jay Law. And Grunt says, I feel cheated by Ineos in the sense that last summer we seemed to do multiple deals at once and did them reasonably quick. I thought we had changed, says Grunt. Yeah, I don't know where you were last summer, mate, but you definitely had crap Wi-Fi because we weren't quick and we didn't do quick deals. We got linked to a lot of good players, but Xerxes didn't even go on the tour. Yoro got injured on the tour. De Ligt and Mazraoui only signed a couple of days before the first game of the season, and Ugarte came in, you know, for the international break at the end of August. So we didn't move particularly quickly. It was more exciting, but it wasn't quick. Thank you very much for that. Right. Let me just come back here. Have we signed Mbeumo? When do you think we will sign Mbeumo? We haven't signed Mbeumo. And, you know, it's a valid question. We haven't signed Mbeumo. And I think the scariest thing I would say about Mbeumo is this. Since the David Ornstein update on Tuesday morning that the deal is not close and not imminent, I think it's fair to say that nobody has challenged that from David Ornstein, not even Romano. And also, further to that, we've had no update about it getting close. So, look, I can throw something out, but I only throw stuff out where we've had good information. Like, you know, the morning after the Europa League final, Garnacho's 100% gone, or 2 months ago, Collier could go. And lo and behold, today, the Athletic are reporting it. Etc. I can't tell you anything about Mbeumo because I've never known anything about it. No one's ever told us anything about it. So we only have what you see. Something about Saturday evening jumps out to me, and I don't know why, but if I'm being honest, that's not from David Ornstein. That's not from Fabrizio Romano. That's from the weird and wonderful mind of me going, I've just got a feeling that Saturday around 6 o'clock, we might get here we go. So don't start putting that on the aggregator accounts, because we haven't been told that, but it's the gut feeling. But I absolutely thought we would have the deal done by the launch of the new kit, and we haven't had it. So Yes. Let's have a look if there's any other news coming in this morning. Thanks everyone who's tuning in, of course, always. Please do subscribe to the channel, by the way. We never push for that during the summer because it's just so busy. But bottom right hand corner to subscribe, join the United Stands. Also, you can check out That's Football. It's all popping off there this morning with the Ekotike deal. Oh, yes. You know what, though? Although that's got nothing to do with us, Ekotike, it's just another reminder of how we're just not part of the conversation. I don't want to go, oh, we're rubbish, because we know we're rubbish. But there is a, I think sometimes when you go, it's rubbish, people just go, oh, look at them moaning. I actually think there's a more succinct, say, way of doing this. We're not rubbish. We've become irrelevant. We have become irrelevant, haven't we? Because I think if you told me on May the 31st that we were going to have a summer transfer window where Cunha was our only signing, we'd not sold anybody, but Arsenal had bought Zubimendi, Madueke, Gyökeres is basically going to go to them, Norgaard, Mascara, and a couple of others, Liverpool, Wirtz, Kerkez, Frimpong, Ekotike is about to go there as well. They're going to get Guehi. You've got Man City getting out Nori, Cherky, Reinders. They're going for somebody else, Chelsea. If you'd have said all that to me, and that this Ekotike story is, again, it's like, we need a forward. There are forwards moving all around Europe, and we're just not in there. We're not in the conversation at all. We need a goalkeeper. There are goalkeepers available who want to come to Manchester United, like Costa and Martinez. We're not even in the conversation. There are strikers to sign. There are goalkeepers to sign. There are midfielders to sign. Look at Richard Rios and others. The players we need are there. We just don't have the bloody money. We've become irrelevant. We can't get into conversations because we don't have the money. And that's not an excuse. We don't have the money is not an excuse at all. Chelsea have got money into that football club through their owners, through loopholes. I would say to any Man United fan, you can't just sit there and go, well, we can't afford it. We can afford it. We can get money into that football club. Any financial expert will tell you there are ways that Man United could have spent £300 million this summer. The bottom line is we've got owners that don't want to do it. And that needs to be spread far and wide, because I do see United fans going, what are we supposed to do when we've got no money? We can spend £300-400 million this summer. We're not going to, but we could. There are ways to do it, but you would have to have owners that wanted to do it, like Chelsea and others. So this whole irrelevancy is self-inflicted. It's self-inflicted by an ownership that doesn't want to spend money and hides behind the fact that we can't spend money. But if you could get them in a room, you could sit Sir Jim Ratcliffe down and say, Sir Jim, put the champers away. Are you telling us now on the United Stand that Man United can't spend money? Well, at the end of the day, I am. And I'd say, well, why is it that you could have done this, 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 and this to get money into the club? Why is it that Chelsea have found ways to spend money? Why can't you do that?
Well, at the end of the day, you know, no one's ever told me that before. And it's about appetites, you know, and the appetite's not there.
They don't want to put money into this football club. Because the simple question is, and this is the mic drop, we were talking about the difference between an Ineos Glazer relationship and a Qatari ownership. I'm telling you now, the last 18 months with Qatari ownership would be like night and day to what we have now. The debt would be gone, the stadium would be being built, and we'd be buying some of the best players in Europe. We're still Manchester United. This is what the conversation that people won't have. If we had been bought by billionaires like Qatar, we'd be spending money on players. We'd be clearing the debt. We're not. So work that out. What's the difference between a Qatari ownership and the Ineos Glazer ownership? We still have the debt, we're not spending money, and we're sinking. If we had Qatar, we wouldn't have the debt and we'd be spending money. It's still Manchester United, though. So why do the Glazers and Ineos talk about FFP and PSR, but Qatar wouldn't, because they'd find ways to get money in, and this ownership won't. They won't do it. They won't do it. Apparently got an Ornstein bomber. I really hope it's something to do with Manchester United. Newcastle are exploring a deal to sign Wizza after cooling.
Fuck. Oh, oh, don't believe it.
You know what? That is incredible. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I do believe it, but that is why that was so well timed, because we have owners that are slow and don't want to spend money. We have seen for 7 weeks, we won't offer £60 million for Mbeumo. We're now getting to a point where Newcastle will swoop in and sign Wizza, and Brentford will probably say you can't have Mbeumo because we've been slow. And if we couldn't see that coming a mile off, I mean, we've been warned. We've been warned 2 weeks ago about Wizza and Spurs. It's not like Man United can go, oh my God, we didn't see that coming. We all saw that coming. That's absolutely incredible. So David Ornstein basically saying that Newcastle exploring a deal to sign Brentford striker Wizza after cooling their interest in Hugo Ekitike. No contact yet, but expected soon. Personal terms also need to be agreed. Availability and price may be dependent on Mbeumo case.
Mate, you know what? You know what, though? You know what I'm going to say? Maybe we want this. Maybe this is what we want. Maybe we've just wasted 2 months on Mbeumo waiting for somebody to buy Wizza so Brentford say he's not for sale and we go, well, we can't do anything about it. Maybe this is the out we're looking for. Maybe we want to go, well, we can't do anything, he's not for sale anymore. Maybe we've just been playing this game for 2 months to pretend to the fan base that we're actually doing something. Maybe this is all part of the plan. Maybe this is part of the plan. Maybe they want Brentford to say we're not selling him anymore. Look, if we want Mbeumo, we should have offered £60 million 7 weeks ago. You've probably got 7 hours to put that bid in. And if we don't do it and we miss out, then there's only one set of people to blame, and they represent Manchester United. Simple as that. Yeah, definitely. All plans, says John Donnelly. Well, yeah, we'll have to wait and see, won't we? But I've got to say, I'm not surprised, because when you look at it, he's definitely worth a look at. I mean, many of you said, oh, you wouldn't mind Wizard at Man United. Dan Golding says, is it true we can get 400 million into the club? Why didn't they do it before the debt got so high and just clear it all before it got so bad? Because they don't want to put their money in, Dan. If you had Todd Bowley in charge or Qatar in charge, they would put money in, but that we don't want to put money in. If we spend on quality players, the deadwood will move faster. Agents push harder when their client is replaced, but Ineos and Glazers won't act, says Doss. Callum says, I don't really know if we can, which is why I'm asking you, why can't we sell our women's team like Chelsea? We can, Callum. Are we seeking, but to sell the women's team, you basically got to buy it. And the way you buy it is through a subsidiary of what you already own. So basically the Glazers or Ineos would have to buy it with their own money, and they won't do it. Are we secretly hoping Leeds batter us? Is Dave? I mean, I don't think results in preseason matter that much either way, but I'd rather try to push Hoyland to 10 goals than give Chelsea 60 million for 12 goals, Jackson, says Slazy. Surely both clubs get to a point, neither are budging, so someone has to give or walk away. I got a feeling he'll go to Spurs, says Sean. And Burmo, here we go tonight. Mark my words, says I'm Kenny. Hope so. One difference, hopefully, from last year was remember the panic when players like Scott and Wan-Bissaka were playing when we was trying to sell them, says Glenn C. Yes, good point. Love the chat. Great job, Mark. And I would love to see you interview any ex-United players, says Nicholas. It's not spoken enough how bad the 2023 window was. Look at the ins and out and prices. We're still suffering from that summer and still paying installments, says T. Riddle. Hamudo, welcome to the Members Club. Sam says, love the show, Mark. Oh, please do subscribe if you're new, by the way. Have you considered that Ineos have been so poor this window due to restrictions placed on them by the Glazers? Just a thought. Well, maybe. But that's the whole point of getting into bed with them, isn't it? If you're restricted, you shouldn't have gone in. If you for a second try to put yourself in the shoes of Wilcox and the rest of the clowns, is there any good footballing reasons to act like they do, says Marlowe FC? Look, I do think Omar Berada
Christian Favelle or Christopher Favelle, Jason Wilcox, they will get criticised. Of course they will, because we're frustrated. But if we're being fair and honest, their level of incompetence is hard to judge because they are restricted by the people above them on who writes the checks, of course. Liam says, over the last few years at the start of the season, the first home game, the player is unveiled. Are we still waiting to reveal Mbeumo at Arsenal? God, if that's the plan, Liam, it's terrifying. It really is. Okay. Thanks everyone for tuning in this morning. We could talk and talk and talk, and I'm sure we'll be talking again. Remember, we have got great point here from Amri Mira on Twitter. He says, Newcastle going after Wizard. Ineos need to understand that stalling the Mbeumo deal isn't the power move they think it is. If Newcastle act fast and take Wizard, it's game over. Yeah, this is a great point. We've spoken about it in this community a lot. The way Ineos are acting doesn't fit football, doesn't fit Manchester United. They're acting like they're Real Madrid. Oh, we're not going to buy players. We're not going to be bullied. We will win in the end, but you won't. The club's reputation is too low. And other clubs have got money, so you can't behave like we're behaving, but they do. They do. Absolute legends this morning. Thank you very much. So we've got Ben Jacobs on the show at 2 o'clock. Lots we can ask him. Make sure you tune in for that live. And I've got the 8 o'clock show. Obviously, if anything happens before that, we'll go live. Probably going to be going live on That's Football, to be honest, because there's a lot going on away from Manchester United. But if you want to check out That's Football, Google it on YouTube. Obviously, subscribe here as well. Absolute legends. Looking forward to the 8 o'clock show and the 2 o'clock show. Speak to you in a bit.